Greetings. My sermon today is called The Root of Baptism. And by the title, you might think that I'm talking about where it all began. But I'm using the word root in a special way, which you will see as we move on. If you would turn to Isaiah 6. It's a key scripture that is referred to a lot in the New Testament as well as the idea in the Old Testament. Isaiah 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Yahweh sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. The seraphim are the root of that word is fiery and powerful creature. Above it stood seraphim. There are many of them. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is Isaiah speaking, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He had taken it from a very holy place. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of Yahweh saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed." Then I said, this is Isaiah speaking, "Yahweh, how long?" Now, I want to point out, for those of you who are following Scripture, you're probably reading, when I'm using the word Yahweh, you may see the word L-O-R-D with the first letter capitalized. That's an error. That is when the Masoretes, in writing the script, changed the name of Yahweh to Adonai. They physically wrote it in there. And if you look in the Hebrew, it'll show Adonai instead of Yahweh. But Yahweh is there's three places in this text, in chapter 6, where that is done. Then I said, verse 11, "Yahweh, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, until the houses are without a man, until the land is utterly desolate, until Yahweh has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return, and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So, in this way, the holy seed shall be its stump." This chapter in Isaiah is a perfect picture of the end times, when it will be like the times of Noah, in which sin prevailed, except for those like the righteous Noah. All but a tenth shall be consumed, and the stump, the root, the vine shall live again and produce righteousness. But look around you, and what do you see? Do you not see a land of unclean lips? Do you not see cities laid waste, bereft of compassion for the needy? Instead, we see beautiful edifices and buildings that reach far into the sky. But not one shall stand in the day of the coming of Yahweh, when Yahshua rides in on a white horse, wearing a robe, baptized in blood, immersed in blood, carrying a banner reading Sovereign of Sovereigns and King of Kings. Then righteousness will again rule the earth. The righteous seed shall spring forth from that root as in the beginning. It'll spring forth for the first fruits, Bereshit. If you turn to the book of Romans in chapter 15, and again, he's referring back to Isaiah, and again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. That's a wonderful prophecy. Of course, Jesse is the father of King David, and Yahshua is a descendant of King David. Let's go back to Isaiah again, this time to chapter 11. Isaiah 11, beginning at verse 10. Isaiah 11, verse 10 begins, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Verse 11, it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people who are left, from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamat and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. In the book of Revelation in chapter 5, and beginning at verse 4, Revelation 5, verse 4. This is John speaking here. And he says, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Verse 6, and I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. The root of Jesse is the son of David, Yahshua the Messiah. In him shall the righteous be saved. He is the root. He is the branch that is spoken of in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. If you would turn to Zechariah in chapter 3, beginning at verse 6, which says, then the angel of Yahweh admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here." Hear, O Joshua, which is pronounced the same way as our Messiah, Yahshua. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. Matthew 3 and verse 7 says, "But when he," speaking of John, "saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees," is John the Baptist, "but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones.'" And even now, and listen to this, "and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees." He's referring back to Isaiah in chapter 6. "Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The book of Acts in chapter 28, beginning at verse 19. I hope you can see how the scripture is one word, how it is written through men by the hand of Yahweh. He has a plan. He has a plan of salvation, and he has had this plan from the very beginning, and he will hold on to this plan until the very end. And those of you who can hear the words of the scripture and understand that Yahweh is calling you out to do his will, to obey his word, will be blessed. There is no doubt about that. If you are baptized into the name of Yahshua and you choose to follow the commandments, the word of Yahweh, he will bless you. In the book of Acts, in chapter 28, starting at verse 19, we read, this is Paul speaking, "For this reason, therefore, I have called for you." These are verses that we read earlier in our meeting, Acts 28. "For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel," notice he didn't say for the hope of the Jews, "for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Then they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. To the end of his life, Paul spread the good news of salvation in the face of rebellion and in the face of prideful man. But there were some who sought to understand the way of Yahweh and the way of Yahshua. Verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, set a time, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of Yahweh, persuading them concerning Yahshua from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly. This is Paul saying this to these individuals. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, meaning repent, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of Yahweh has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. It is a huge act of faith for someone to attend our assembly and be baptized, having lifted up their eyes and perceiving the knowledge of the truth, wanting to see more, wanting to hear more, wanting to understand more, wanting to set the things of this world aside in order to walk more in the way of Yahshua. Wanting to walk more in obedience to the Father. For the faith of Yahshua is simply obedience to the Father. In this day and age, it is almost unheard of for someone to abandon their will to come to the Father through Yahshua the Messiah and say, I want no more of this world for myself. Yes, I am in the world and will struggle with my own faults and weaknesses, but I will also forgive others of their faults, their weaknesses, and their trespasses against me. In return for the curses I receive from others, I will instead issue blessings. How can I do this? I can do this because I see the misery that drives mankind to hurt others. I can do this because I hear now the anguish of countless acts of betrayal that leads to mistrust. I can do this because I understand now the hopelessness of a lack of knowledge of Yahweh and Yahshua. And I can hear the fear of letting go of hope in what this world can afford. Only those who can see the future through the eyes of the Spirit of Yahweh and can see the work that Yahshua did for our salvation will come to be baptized here. For here is the baptizement, the baptism for the remission of sins. And here is the baptism into the body of Messiah Yahshua. The name of Yahshua is the only name given among men by which we must be saved, as written in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 12. Baptism into the body of the Messiah is not being born again, as the world often portrays. It is more akin, it is more similar to Yahshua's conception, if you can hold on to that idea. He was conceived in the flesh by the Spirit of Yahweh. And we here are in the flesh and have been granted a portion, a down payment of the Spirit of Yahweh, and are growing in the womb of a fleshly existence that includes both isolation and nurturing. We have been set apart from mankind, and we will survive this pregnancy, as it were, through the life-giving Spirit of Yahweh. And death is a part of this ordeal, both physically and spiritually. We die the death of exemplified by Yahshua, meaning dying to acts of disobedience to Yahweh, symbolized by dying in baptism. And we die in the flesh and are buried, awaiting our spiritual birth, When Yahshua returns and we are resurrected from the grave, it is then that we are reborn, born from above. It is at the time of resurrection that we are born from above, having endured the labor pains of this current time and brought into everlasting life, an absolutely new creature, one born for life in eternity. Baptism imitates that day when we die to sin and are raised up and given new and eternal bodies. And yet we are still in the flesh and must struggle. I conclude by saying that baptism is a fulfillment of ancient prophecy, thus the root of baptism. Being baptized in the name of Yahshua, the root that springs to life after being cut down, who produces good fruit, is a sign of hope for the remnant of Israel. It is a sign that the Holy Spirit of Yahweh is being put into the minds and hearts of those whose veils have now been lifted to see the blessings to come, whose ears have been unstopped in order to hear the word of Yahweh, and whose understanding has been granted to impart to others the good news of Yahshua the Messiah. In his name, hallelujah.